Well, open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, First Epistle of John and the chapter 4. And my text today can be found at the beginning, really, of verse 7. Beloved, I'll be writing to his people here. Let us love one another. Let us love one another. Let's look to the Lord and ask for his blessing. Father in heaven, I pray thou would be with us around thy word. We pray thy word, Lord, would come with power to our souls. I pray thy word will change us, that thy word will conform us more in the image of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So close us, Lord, in with thyself, I pray. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Help us to minister thy word with power and apply it to all hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us love one another. As you know, we're continuing our little series on the let us of the Bible. Last week, we looked together that let us walk in the Spirit. And I said, every child of God, this is the true victory that we have in the world. If we walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, as we noticed last week, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So walking in the Spirit is really, really going to help us to live for God in this world. And we noticed last week, if you're ever going to walk in the Spirit of God, you must be filled with God the Holy Spirit. You must get on your knees and surrender yourself to God and cry to the God of heaven who gives the Spirit, his Spirit, to those who ask him, Lord, I want you to fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want you, Lord, to fill me to the uttermost. Why? Because I need thee. I need thee. How can you walk in the Spirit? How can I walk in the Spirit in this old sin-cursed world if we're not filled with the Spirit of God? So we started off with that. You must be filled with the Spirit of the living God. And we notice also about not the fullness of the Spirit, the following of the Spirit. Because the Bible says you're led by the Spirit of God. And we sang that great hymn together. He leadeth me. He leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me. And he leads us to the Word of God. And certainly the Spirit of God leads us away from sin. And I want him to lead you. And I want the Spirit of God to lead me. And then we notice the freeness of walking in the Spirit. You're free. You're free from sin. You're free from fear. For where the Spirit of God is, the Bible is very clear in this, there is liberty. There's this freeness of walking in the Spirit. We're not in bondage anymore. Before our conversion, we were bond slaves to sin and all the wickedness all around us. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in conversion, he has set us free. And there's this freeness in walking in the Spirit of God. Free from sin. We're free from fear. And then we notice lastly about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. You can see it in the life of the person that they're walking in the Spirit of the living God. Now, we've been looking at these together. Let us do these things. I said to you before we look at this next one, are you doing these things? Has the Word of the Lord had an impact upon your heart? Can you say over the last number of weeks, as you and I have been looking at the let us of the Bible, that you felt God working in your life? God is changing your life. This is what it's all about, of course. We're not just here really to entertain people. The Word of God is to come with power to all of our hearts to change us, that we will walk with God. I said all the people of God here today, you have only one opportunity to walk with God in this world. So let's get it right. Let's get it right. Let's get to Bethel. Cast away all the things that need to go. Let's be men and women of prayer. We've been there as well. Let us know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Let us walk in the Spirit. Well, today you can see what we are to do. It says, beloved, let us love one another. These words are addressed to Christians everywhere. It's just not writing to Free Presbyterians. And he's not just saying to this congregation, just love yourselves and that's it. These words are not just to the Baptists. They're not just to Pentecostals or other denominations. These words are recorded for all of God's people. And he is saying here, let us love one another. This is what we've got to do. And I said to all of us today, this is what we're going to look at today. And I trust this is what all of us will do. Let us, what? Love one another. And I want us to look at this together. I want to say, first of all, about the reason for loving one another. Why is it then that the Apostle John, that he's given this exhortation of God, to the people of God to love one another? Why is he saying these words? Why could I say this? He is saying this because this love has been commanded by God. This is a commandment of the Lord to his people. This duty that he's setting forth here before the people, it's not an option to be considered. It's a commandment to all of us to obey. It's a commandment from the God of heaven to all of us in this meeting, because I'm speaking to everyone in this meeting, to love one another. You turn to John, 1 John 3 and verse 23, just over the page. Notice what he says. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he give us, notice the words, commandment. And you can see twice here in this verse 23, you find the word commandment. God commands that we believe in Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Of course, every one of us here, we believe in that. But he commands something else. What does God command? That we love one another. The same God that gave us the Ten Commandments. He commands his people everywhere to be a loving people and to love one another. He refers back to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 13 and verse 34. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And I want you to think of the words of the Son of God here to the great apostles, the great disciples of the Lord. Isn't that amazing that the Lord Jesus had a look at these great men in the church at that particular time and said to them, I have a new commandment for you. Here's what I want you to do. Well, Lord, what do you want us to do? He says that you love one another. That's what I'm commanding, that you do it. Now, these are the words, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that you'll find these words a number of times coming from the lips of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. For instance, in John 15, I'll read it to you in verse 12. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. In verse 17 of John's Gospel, chapter 15, he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. And so when you and I come to the Word of God, we find there's a commandment sitting upon his pages, and it is mentioned many times to God's people. What is that commandment? What is it? Love one another. You know, it was enough for the Lord just to put this the once. But I have quoted a few references here in the Bible that the Lord is saying, love one another. This is an important message. This is an important matter with our Father who is in heaven. He commands us. He demands of his people that we have a love one for another. So you say, well, why should I love so-and-so? Why should I do this? Because God commands us to do it. This is his commandment, that you love one another. In 1 John 3 and verse 11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. Listen, that we should love one another. Now here's a law, and it's binding upon all of us. Now why do I say this? Notice what he said. Let us. Let us. He's speaking here of all of God's people, not just half of God's people. Or can I even bring it to this congregation? He's just not writing to half of this congregation. And saying to half of the people here this morning, well, you love one another, but the other half, you don't have to do this. That's not the teaching. You see, we are to love one another because God commands it. He commands us that we love one another. So the reason, one of the reasons, first of all, is because of the commandment of the Lord. He tells us, now, I don't know about you, but I want to obey the word of God. Do you want to obey the word of God? Would you ever think of going out and breaking the other commandments? Stealing, murder, whatever it may be. Not one bit of it. But how often do you break this one? And not loving one another. We are to love one another because of the commandment of the Lord. Another reason we are to love one another, because of the compassion of the Lord. God's people are to love one another because, listen, He has shown great love to us. In John 13, for instance, in verse 34, the Lord Jesus says, a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. In John 15 and verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love me one another as I have loved you. And the Lord Jesus Christ, what's he doing? He's bringing himself into the picture. He's bringing himself in a matter into the commandment or into the argument. Here, he's saying, I want you to love one another. Here's why. As I have loved you. I have shown love to you. No doubt these disciples were like ourselves, unlovable, had sinned against the God of the Bible. And yet here's the remarkable thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has shown love to his people. He says in John 15 and verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He said, there's no greater love. This is the greatest of all loves. The Lord Jesus dying for us. And so he shows his love to us. He said, have a look at my love. Have a look at my love for you. I have died for you. I have come from heaven. I have bore thy sins upon my body, upon the tree. Love one another because I have loved you. Look at verse 10, 1 John 10. 1 John 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, so ought also we ought also to love one another. And so here's the argument given to us by God and by given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to love one another because God has loved us. And I tell you this morning, that's a great argument. The love of God shown unto his people from all eternity. You'll not get a stronger argument for carrying out this duty of loving one another than this. We are to love one another because the Lord Jesus Christ says, even if I have loved you. Well, I'm just setting up the picture. The truth that's found in God's word. Why I should love you. And why you should love me. Because God commands it. And because of the compassion of the Lord. But could I say for another reason? Because we are the children of the Lord. If you look at the text, the very first word in verse 7, he says, beloved, let us. He's showing these people that they're a one people. They are the children of the living God. They have been saved by the grace of God, you see. There's a great unity among the people of the Lord, you see. You see, they are a family. No matter where they're from in this world, they may be from America. They may be from Northern Ireland. They may be from Africa. But if a person is saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we're all in the same family. God is only one family. His children. The Lord God of heaven has only one way into that family. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord has only one way of cleansing us to bring us into this family. Being washed in the blood of the Lamb, you see. We are the children of the living God. And within God's family, there's not to be a spirit of bitterness. What is the spirit to be? Would anybody argue with me this morning? No, the spirit is to be. It's a spirit of love. The spirit of loving one another. God wants us to look down from heaven and see all of us here and his children all over the world. What? Loving one another. We are, of course, his children. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Peter writes, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. You cannot get it more clear than that. He's writing to God's people. And what has he said? Love as brethren, your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You have the same Father. You're in the same family. You have the same God. You have the same hope going to heaven. You're one people. Therefore, we should love one another. We're all one family. I tell you, it used to be different before we were saved. Because remember, Paul writing to Titus, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, here's what he says about how they used to be. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Now, the Apostle Paul is speaking about how they used to be. How he used to be. How the people he was writing to, how they used to live when they were outside of Jesus Christ and they weren't saved. You know how they were described? They hated one another. They couldn't stand the sight of one another. I tell you, that's a spirit of ungodly. That's a spirit of the unsaved. Certainly it should not be the spirit of the Church of Jesus Christ or the children of the Lord, you see. We should love one another. Why? Because we're all in the same family. And that's a great reason. And if I had my children, if I had some of my family and they didn't love one another, I'd be very grieved. I would be very grieved, in fact. And my own little family at home and my children didn't get on. They do all get on, I'm glad of that. But if I didn't get on, didn't speak and didn't, and were fighting and all the rest, I'd be very grieved. Well, is God not grieved? When his people do not love one another. So I'm saying to you the first point here. Why? Let us love one another. You may say, no, why should we love one another? Well, I'm saying to you, God's commanded us to do it. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has loved us, he says. We're to love one another. And because everyone who's saved here this morning and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we're in the same family. We are the children of the living God. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, behold. And the word behold means really in a sense to stop and look at this. To look at this great truth. John says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We're all the sons of God. We're all the children of the living God. Then. We should love one another. I'm saying to you this morning, let us do that. These are things we are to do. These are not things that are done for us. God is saying, here's what I want you to do. Here is how he wants you and I to live in this world. Let us love one another. And that is the reason for loving one another. There's three reasons on to that first point. I want to speak about the rules. The rules of loving one another. We're to love one another personally because When you read these words, you can easily see, as I said, these words are for all the people of God. There's none excluded from this duty. This is something personally, and I want to say this to everyone who's saved. This is something personally you are to do. You are to do it. There are things I can ask you to do for me, to do a visit for me, to do a favor, whatever it may be. But I certainly cannot go to you and say, I want you to do something for me. And you say, Noel, what is that? Do you see that man or that woman in the Christian love? I want you to love them, for I can't love them. I cannot pass it on. I cannot pass the buck, in a sense. Here is something that every one of us has to do. Now, we can pray for one another. We can pass a message on for one another. But we certainly cannot do this for anyone else. So we are to do it personally. It's your heart. It's your heart. And that's one of the rules. You're to do it. You say, well, I'll leave it for that woman or that man to love such and such a person. No, that's not the case. You're to do it. And I am to do it. We all are to do this. That's one of the rules for this. That's why he said, let us. So don't close yourself out of this circle. This morning, child of God. There's nothing we had to do. We're to do it personally and we're to do it heartily, can I say? Because in Romans 5, verse 5, it tells us about the love of God that dwells in our heart. Any love's in our heart. Remember this. God has put it there. It's not natural sometimes to love people. But any love I have in my heart, the Lord has put it there. Any love for Christ, any love for His Word, any love for His people. We have to say the God of heaven has put that love within our hearts. Take Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Well, seeing this great love was in our hearts, then I had to love God with my heart. And I had to love His people with my heart. We're to do it heartily. Now, Peter, and I did make reference to this in the first point. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, Peter is writing to God's people. And he says to them, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Look at the very terms that the Apostle Peter here is using to describe how we are to love one another. Well, he says, having compassion. Having a feeling of love towards them. That word compassion means having a feeling, a sympathetic feeling towards people. He says to love as brethren. That means fond or be pitiful or tender. He says about being courteous, means friendly of mind, and to be kind. You can see here in these words of Peter, he's saying here, we are to be tender-hearted. We are to be kind one to another. We are to be friendly one to another. We ask ourselves, looking over all the church of God, not just the congregation today, but all over in the world, is that what we see? Is that what we see? That we are courteous one to another? That we're having compassion one to another? That we're being pitiful one to another, courteous? Is that what we see? Or do we see bitterness and fightings? It should not be so. You see, the Bible tells us to love one another with our hearts. And child of God, we should cry to the God of the Bible or to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me a heart like Christ. Give me a heart for His people. We ought to love each other. And I want to say this. With our hearts. Sometimes we can pretend to love one another. And boys, it's not easy. But it's not to be so. The great C.H. Spurgeon, speaking about this matter of Christians loving one another, he says, do you love them for Christ's sake? Do you say to yourself, That is one of Christ's people. That is one who bears Christ's cross. That is one of the children of God. Therefore I love him. What an argument this mighty man of God said as we look upon God's people. Do we see them carrying the cross of Christ upon them? Do we see that they are the children of the Lord? Then he says, if we do see it, he says, therefore I love them. I love them. See, we are to love them personally. We love them heartily, with tenderness, compassion, and kindness should be in our hearts one to another. And we're to love them patiently. Maybe this is a point we all need. Patiently. This duty is to be carried out among God's people patiently. I have to be honest. And you have to be honest this morning. There's times it's not very easy to love one another. No, there's times we annoy one another. Sometimes we say it back at home. I'm sure you said over in Northern Ireland, some people just keeps getting right up my nose. Don't mind use that expression. Well, that's some Ulster terms you've learned this morning in the meeting. Sometimes people annoy us. And sometimes it is very, very difficult to show tenderness and kindness and love to some people. Well, over in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul is writing and he says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Notice what he says in verse 2, Ephesians chapter 4. Forbearing one another in love. Notice the term this mighty man of God writes to this church at Ephesus, and he uses, here's how you are to love, forbearing one another in love. You know what the word forbearing means? To put up with. To put up with. Now, we all had to be honest. There are some people very hard to put up with. Probably including ourselves, by the way. There's a lot of long suffering and patience is needed, of course, in our life and heart. But if God's people are going to carry out this exhortation to love one another, we certainly have to do it patiently. But sometimes we lose our patience. You all know what happens. There's rows and there are divisions. But if I'm going to love one another, do it patiently. Do it patiently. Remember, we have to put up with you. And you have to put up with me. We all have to put up with each other. How the Lord Jesus shows great patience to his people. How he ever loves me now, never mind before I was converted, I cannot fully understand it. But he's long-suffering towards all of us. He knows all about us. And yet he loves us. I cannot fully understand that. Because you think about a child of God today, if people around you really knew you the way you are within yourself, they may not love you at all. You think of the thoughts we have, the things that goes on in our mind and hearts. If people really knew all that was going on, what we're really thinking about them, what we're saying in our hearts about them, they may not love you at all. But God knows all of them. He sees all our outward actions. He hears all our words. He sees all the thoughts come into our mind. And yes, here's the wonderful thing. He puts up with us. And he loves us patiently. With long suffering. And so we are to love people, can I say to you, patiently. If you want to see faults in people, then look away. You'll find them very quickly. If I want to see faults in you, I'll find them very quickly. And certainly if you want to find them in me, no bother finding them in my life. We are to love one another here patiently. Let's be patient. Let's be loving. Let's be kind one to another. We are the children of the living God. That's what the Bible is saying. You say, this is a hard duty, perhaps, this morning they're giving us to do. It was easier to go up to Bethel. It was easier for us to go to Bethlehem. Oh, it was easier even maybe to go to the throne of grace. But you're asking me. No, I'm not asking you. God is saying, we're to love one another. He's commanding us. He says, hard duty. It's what we are to do. We are to do these things. We are also to do it practically as well, because in 1 John 3, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In Galatians 5 and verse 13, he says, but by love serve one another. We're to love, of course, by deed and truth. Of course, we'll bear one another's burdens. Forgiving one another, praying for one another, helping people, of course, in their time of need, building up each other in a most holy faith. How do we do all of these things? In what spirit do we do it? We do it in the spirit of love. There's a kindness about us. We want to help one another. Do you know a brother or sister needs help? Can you help them? We can't solve all their problems. I'm not saying that. But you know somebody who needs help. And you have all the help they need. I can do it. We can tell you this. It's better to give than to receive. We show them by deeds and actions that we love them. I know myself over the years. You see people giving things to us or whatever it may be. And the love, just helping someone. Helping someone in a time of need, particularly a brother or sister in great need. We cannot walk past. The priest, he walked past. The Good Samaritan, he stopped. He helped the person in a time of need. Don't walk past him. If we need help in prayer, say, I'll pray for you. But there's things we can do. We're Christians. We are the children of the living God. There should be love flowing from our hearts to one another in all these ways. Here we have the rules for loving one another. I've just touched on them. Time's going on. Let us love one another. Can I want to speak about the results of loving one another? You say, well, what are we going to benefit? What benefit is it going to do this congregation? Because I'm preaching to this congregation this morning, so let's bring it right down to the congregation today. What's going to be the results of everyone in this congregation loving one another? First of all, the witness it'll be. It bears a great testimony to the cause of Jesus Christ in this world that we love one another. You may say, how can it be? How can it be? Well, listen to these words. They're not my words. They are the words of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And he said to his disciples in John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. These are amazing words coming from the lips of the Son of God. He's saying to the disciples, all people will know that ye are my disciples if you do this. He said, well, do great miracles. Do signs and wonders, they'll know you're my disciples. Not one bit of it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, they'll know that you're my disciples if ye have love one to another. There's going to be a witness. The world is watching. They're seeing how we behave one to another. They're looking at amazement. How is it those people can love one another the way they do? They're so kind. They're so loving to each other in the church, in the congregation. And it is a tremendous witness, you see. If we love one another. I asked the question, what does the world see when they look upon us this morning? Is it a witness that we love one another? Or do they see divisions and hatred among the people of God? Now, I could give you numerous illustrations of this back home. Back home, a particular church that I could use a couple of Free Presbyterian churches as well, but this one particular is not Free Presbyterian. The congregation fell out over the minister. Some wanted them, some didn't. It got very hot and heavy. It got so bad in the row between them. Let me say this to you. Maybe you've heard of this by other men from Northern Ireland. It got on the television. And the newspapers. It got so bad that somebody could headbutt it. One man said he's going to burn the church to the ground. And when I came to next Sunday service, the priest had to come to church. And they weren't coming to hear the word of God. They came to keep the peace. Isn't that amazing? They came to keep the peace. And one probably stood over this wall and one stood, and they stood to keep the peace. I can tell you this. Is that a good witness for Christ? Is that a good witness for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not one bit of it. Fighting, rowing, and as far as I know, and I may be wrong on this, the row is still going on. And that was in 2012, I think it was. 2014 maybe. No, sorry, 2014. For years. And some now meet in the church, and some meet in the church hall. Now, while there are souls, I'm not sure. But that's an awful witness. That we get on the television. And into the papers. And onto the radio and the news. Listen, evangelical. Bible-believing church we're talking about. That's some witness, isn't it? You see, we want a good witness for Christ, then let us love one another. People will know that ye are my disciples. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to all of his people. You give love one to another. That's one of the results, can I say, that this congregation will show to the people all around them. The result of witness, there'll be a result, of course, of the fullness in their life. Because look, in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. Notice the words, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. How do you and I fulfill the law? Now, let me say, the Lord Jesus has fulfilled the law for us, but we are to fulfill the law in our duties. How are we going to do it? Well, just by simply loving one another. If I love you and you love me, I'm not going to lie against you. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to steal anything from you. Just by loving you, I'm fulfilling the law of God. See, this is a great witness. Great fullness. Just by loving you, I'll fulfill the commandments of God. That's what God wants you to do. To love one another. Fulfill the law, you see. And then, of course, can I say last thing very quickly? There's a Christ-likeness. And you know, that is the great result, the end result of it all. I be like Christ. People look upon us and say, well, they're different. There's something different about them. Their attitude, they don't blow up. They're not nasty. They're not unfriendly. Dear friends, do you want to be like Christ? Then love one another. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We want to be like Christ in this world. Then let's love one another. These are the results of loving one another. Can I say in closing just how are we getting on with this? Maybe things come to your mind, you say, well, or people come to your mind that annoys you. Maybe there's things need to be put right. Well, then obey the word of God this morning. I says, I'll put the things right. I may have to humble myself. I may have to say sorry. Sometimes sorry seems to be the hardest word to say. But you know, I tell you this, there's a real blessing in saying the word sorry. To put the hand out to anyone and say, I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm sorry. You see, we are to love one another. Let us do it. Let us obey the word of the living God and live for Christ. And I trust the Lord will bless his word to your hearts this morning for his name's sake. Let's close in a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us. I pray that I has blessed your word to the hearts of your people today. No doubt it's been a challenge to my own heart, Lord. I trust to every one of your people. There may be things all of us has to put right. Oh God, help us to put them right. Help us to have a heart not full of bitterness. The old devil stirs it up, annoys us with no peace, no rest. Let us put matters right, all of us, Lord. And let us love one another. Write these truths upon the hearts of your people. I pray for any, Lord, who's not saved, that they'll come to know the love of God that's found in Jesus Christ. And that will turn their hearts to the Lord Jesus, and that they might be saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. I pray the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will rest, remain, and abide upon each and every one of us. For we pray in his name. Amen.